Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abaddon Shaw.
Imagine with me if sports had no goals and no finish lines. I mean, imagine for a moment a basketball game without any baskets. You just dribble the ball and you pass the ball around, but there's no hoop and no scoreboard. How many of you would still love to play basketball? Now, let's go a step further. Let's say you did have goals and baskets and finish lines, but let's imagine for a moment there were no medals, no trophies, and no awards. You just do it for the love of the game. If that were the case, how many of you would actually be motivated to practice and train for the sport? How many of you would actually do that? There is no winner or loser, so you just play basketball. After a while, it'll get old. You'd be like, well, it's a great game, and I love it. But there's nothing coming. And you, sooner or later, something will take priority over your game, your sport. Either work or life or fishing or whatever it is. Now, today's message is going to help us understand the goal and the prize for every Christian. The message is called The Soul Winner's Prize. We're still in our series on the resurrection of Christ. And as we go further into the message, it will make more sense how a soul winner's goal and soul winner's prize is connected to the resurrection of Christ from Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. If you ask people, what is the goal of every Christian? More than likely, you'll hear something like this: to get to know God. I want to know God more. I want to study the Bible more. I want to pray more. If you ask people, what is the prize of every Christian? More than likely, you'll hear something like this. The prize? Well, the prize is that I will be more like Jesus. The prize is that I would be a better person, a better Christian. The prize is that I will use the spiritual gifts that God has given to me. So the goal is, get to know God, study more, pray more. The prize, I'll be more like Jesus, being a better person, using my gifts in the kingdom of God. In today's message, we're going to learn that the goal of every Christian is soul winning. It's to tell every man, woman, boy, and girl that there is a name by which they can be saved, and the name is Jesus. But wait, it's not just a goal as if it's the Great Commission. Jesus told us, so we got to do it. That's the reason many of you don't. There's a prize. For those who win souls, there's a prize waiting for us, and what we have done is we have kind of, we have leveled the ground on the other side. It doesn't really matter what you do in this life as long as you get in. No wonder we don't win souls anymore. Oh, you will get in, and you will have a glorified body, but trust me when I say from the Word of God, there's something waiting for soul winners, which is much, much, much more. This morning, let me ask you a couple of questions just to prepare us for this message. What do you think is the goal of every Christian? What do you think is the prize of every Christian? What are you aiming for? You say, I'm a Christian. What are you aiming for? Because if you're aiming for something the Bible hasn't said to aim for, you're going in a different direction than God wants you to. What are you running towards? What are you looking forward on the other side? We're talking about games. Are you even in the game? You know, to be in this race of winning souls, you at least have to first get in the game. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you still didn't sign up. The first step first is what? Ask God to save you. Now you are in the game, and there is a prize waiting for you. I'm hoping this morning, the first thing would be you would examine your hearts. Is your name written in the book of life? And then the next step is to do whatever you can to win souls, because something is coming for us. So let's begin. First the goal, and then the prize. The goal of every Christian. Now we read this passage, verse 3. Let's read that again, and I'm going to read it again further on. Hopefully you'll memorize it. God is telling Daniel this: those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. It seems like there are two groups of people. One are the wise that will shine like the clouds, and the other group are those who turn many to righteousness who will be like the stars forever. Not true. In the Hebrew construction, they're one and the same. Same group of people who are wise are also the group that are turning others to righteousness. In God's judgment, listen carefully, wisdom is turning people to God. Now, we do know that Daniel was a wise person. How do you know that? Open the book of Daniel chapter 1. It tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar, after he captured Jerusalem, he took with him young men who were smart, young men who were good-looking, who were strong, who were intelligent. He took them with him back to Babylon. He was going to use them in his empire. He wanted the cream of the crop. So Daniel was a wise person according to the world's definition, but it was more than that. Did you know that Daniel was also a soul winner? Now to me, what Paul is in the New Testament, Daniel was in the Old Testament. Remember Paul? Paul was a soul winner. You know, we think Paul is so, well, man, he was a remarkable theologian. He wrote the book of Romans. He was an amazing communicator. He wrote 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Look how he uses rhetoric and how he uses Greek philosophy and how he communicates with people. If you were to ask Paul, Paul, who are you? You know what he would say? I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. My job is to tell people about Jesus Christ. Paul, what did you accomplish? Oh, what did I accomplish? Oh, was it the book of Romans? Or was it Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians? No, Paul would say, I planted churches where there were no churches. Later on, we're going to see some of those references. But for time's sake, right now, just like Paul was in the New Testament, Daniel was a soul winner in the Old Testament. Let's look at that for a moment. Daniel was in a foreign land, and he did everything he could to tell people that he believed in the living God and that nothing would make him compromise his faith. Remember the food laid before them? And they said, we're not going to eat this food. It's offered to idols. We can't do that. Let us eat what we want to eat. And if we don't look good, then hey, we'll do whatever you tell us. And in the process, they were blessed and they allowed their faith to shine. Next thing you know, Daniel has a gift to interpret dreams and visions. And King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He wasn't going to tell it to anybody. Daniel somehow got involved in it. And what happens? Daniel not only tells him the dream, but he also gives him the interpretation. Before he does that, he says, King, I'm just going to go and tell you this. I don't have it in me, but the living God whom I serve, he's going to tell you. You know what Daniel was doing? He was witnessing to him. When it was all said and done, King Nebuchadnezzar was so impressed that he actually confessed the living God. You're going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven because of Daniel. Kingdoms changed, and Babylon was captured by the Medo-Persian Empire. Next thing you know, there's another king by the name of Darius. And the people made a rule to get Daniel in trouble. What was the rule? You cannot pray. And Daniel goes to his house. He goes to the room, opens the windows, and he prays like he always did. They're like, we got him. They go back to Darius. Hey, guess what? And Darius realized, uh-oh. I didn't realize they were doing this to get Daniel in trouble. And reluctantly, he allowed Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den. But all night long, the king paced back and forth and back and forth. Next morning, he gets to the cave. He says, Daniel, the God whom you worship, has he saved you? Daniel said, hang in there. Yes, he has. And what happens next? That king was so mad, he took all those men, threw them into the lion's den. And instead, he brought Daniel back out, and he sent out a decree. He not only confessed himself, he sent out a decree saying, there's only one living God, and that's Daniel's God. You're going to see Darius in heaven. What I'm saying here is this. Maybe not the same exact way like Paul, maybe not to the same extent like Paul, but Daniel was also a soul winner. The point is this. Wise people are soul winners. Let's go back to Paul for a moment. We talked about him in the opening for just a few seconds. Let's look at a couple of verses about Paul. What was Paul's goal? Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 22. He says, I have become all things to all men that by all means save some. Oh, you're Jewish? Oh, guess what? I'm Jewish. I'm a Pharisee. I've studied under Gamaliel. Let's talk about the Messiah. Oh, you're not Jewish. You're Gentile. Oh, I'm a Roman citizen. Let me tell you about the Savior of the world. By all means, whatever it takes, my job is to see people come to know Jesus Christ. This was Paul. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Sometimes people say, well, saved, is that a Baptist thing you do? No, it's a biblical thing. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What Paul was saying was this. Hey, listen, I got persecuted. I got beaten. All this crazy stuff happened. But don't worry about it. All this was good because the gospel went even further. Paul was a soul winner at heart. Now, wise people win souls. Now, please don't misunderstand. When I say wise people, I'm not saying you got to have an IQ of, to be able to get into MIT or something. One of my favorite preachers is Charles Spurgeon. Amazing man of God in the 19th century. I mean, he shook England. He shook the world. He died at an early age. But in that short time he had, he preached the truth, he did whatever he could, and he was a soul winner. But did you know how he got saved? I'm going to tell you that this morning. He was barely 15 years of age. 1850 is the time. And he says that he woke up one Sunday afternoon with a deep sense of his need for deliverance. And he said, I got to go to church. So he gets out and it's snowing. It's a snowstorm. So he walks out. He loses his way and he ends up into a primitive Methodist church. He walked in and there was a lay preacher, a substitute lay preacher who was preaching from the pulpit. This lay preacher was preaching from Isaiah 45 verse 22. Now listen to the verse. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And this lay preacher, Spurgeon says in his autobiography, he had not much to say. I mean, ask the guys who get up here and preach, and it's like their brain sometimes just like goes through an erased mode. It's like I have no idea what to say now. And this lay preacher wasn't educated. He began to preach, and Spurgeon says, thank God that he could not say much, for that compelled him to keep on repeating his text. And there was nothing needed, he says, by me at any rate, except his text. Then stopping, he pointed to where I was sitting under the gallery and said, that young man over there looks very miserable. And as he shouted, Spurgeon says, as I think only a primitive Methodist could shout, look, look, young man, look now. And he repeated that verse. And Spurgeon says that I had this vision, not a vision to my eyes, but to my heart. I saw what his Savior Christ was. Now, I can never tell you how it was, but I no sooner saw whom I was to believe than I also understood what it was to believe. And I did believe in one moment. When we talk about being wise, we're not talking about being smart in the world's sense. It's not about wise in the sense of, man, I make all the right decisions. I know when to keep my mouth shut. I know exactly what to do and when not to do it. I am so wise. No, it's about being a soul winner. In God's judgment, wise people save souls. Now think for a moment. Spurgeon won thousands upon thousands of people to Christ. Who is wiser, Spurgeon or that lay Methodist preacher? That lay, guess what? He won Spurgeon. When he gets to heaven, God's going to say, oh, come on in. Well, wait a minute. Whoa, you got a lot of deposit over here. Well, I didn't do anything. Oh, sure did. Well, I know I won that one boy to Christ, but I don't. Oh, yes, but that one boy won thousands upon thousands of Christ. Listen again to that verse. What does it say? Those who are wise shall shine. Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Are you a wise person? What is the goal of your life? But let's go one step further. The prize of every soul winner. Remember, I began with that analogy of playing a basketball with no hoops. But then I said, well, imagine you do have hoops, but there is no award, there is no medal, there is no prize, you just play. There is no winner or loser, you just play. How long would you be motivated? Listen again to this verse. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now, before we look at what the brightness of the firmament means and what shining like the star means, let's try to understand when this will happen. You have to read the two verses prior to get the context. Listen to verse 1. We read this earlier. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. What time are we talking about when Michael will stand up? This is the end time. This is the time after the great tribulation. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. This is the great tribulation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, the people of Israel. Everyone who is found written in the book. It's something deep and mysterious here. It's not just coming out of the great tribulation, but it's talking about those who have their names written in the book of life. You know, there is a book in heaven, and if you're saved, your name is in that book. You say, well, is that the only time? No, it's mentioned in other places in the Bible. Let me read you another passage. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. There's a library in heaven. And on the day of judgment, books will be opened. And another book was opened, which is a book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So let's get this together. There's a book in heaven. On the day of judgment, that book will be opened. And if your name is not in that book, you're headed to the lake of fire. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you really sure that your name is in that book? Do you know for sure? Because I think this morning some people need to get saved. Because when I said those words to you, you have no assurance. There's nothing there. It's emptiness. And you need to get saved. You need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Let me read another verse here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garment." Jesus says, "And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." You say, "Well, I confess Jesus." Can I ask you a question? Will Jesus confess you? Imagine getting before God in heaven and saying, "Hey, I know you." You know what Jesus said? "Depart from me, I never knew you." Do you have that kind of confidence that Jesus will actually stand up on the day of judgment and say, "He belongs to me, she belongs to me"? Because if you don't, what needs to really happen this morning, before you even walk out of this place, is you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. The whole context of this passage is about wise people being soul winners, but before they can be soul winners, their soul has to be saved. Before they can get the names of people around them in the book of life, their name has to be in the book of life. And what's going to happen? Listen to verse 2 again. We're just kind of repeating the same passage again and again because there's so much packed in there. Verse 2 again. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Which means this: there is going to be a mass resurrection from the dead. Everybody is coming back to life, but not every resurrection is the same. Some are to life, some are to shame. But in that category, there's another group. Listen again to verse 3, but we're hammering this verse down. "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." You remember what I said? Wise are soul winners. Wise are the ones who turn many to righteousness. On the day of resurrection, they will be shining brightly. Now, they don't become stars. How do you know that? Because Daniel chapter 8, verse 10 tells us that stars are actually the host of heaven. So don't think of yourself on the other side becoming a sun, a burning ball of fire. No, what it's saying is you will be glorious like an angel. Who? The ones who turned many to righteousness. You know what we have done? The ground is level at the cross. Can I have an amen on that? Anybody can come to Christ. The ground is not level on the other side. And that really bothers people. It's like, when I'm on the other side, you know, man, it's all going to be gloriously changed. Well, yeah, you will be. You'll have a glorious body like Jesus, a transformed body. But keep in mind, those who turn many to righteousness will shine brightly. Others will make it by the skin of their teeth. They're saying, "Well, I'm just glad to be in." Folks, let me ask you a question. If that's the side you're going to spend rest of eternity, don't you think it's worth preparing for that? We have so twisted the Word of God to fit our complacency and soothe our conscience that now we have another gospel, another Bible that is not in line with this. Well, you know, I'm like Paul. You know, I mean, Paul's goal was to find Christ. I mean, that's all I want to do now. Really. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 is what you're quoting. Paul says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Some people get very spiritual on you and they say, "Well, I'm trying to run toward Jesus now." Well, you didn't read the whole verse, did you? You don't read the whole chapter. No wonder. Well, let's look at that chapter in detail. Starting in verse 8, Paul says, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Yeah, there you go. Everything is a loss as long as I get to know Jesus. Again, you didn't read the whole passage. Keep reading. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from faith, from God by faith. Now look at verse 10. What does he say? That I may know him and the power of what? Keep reading the whole passage. Paul is saying all this in the context of the resurrection of Jesus. It gets better. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Listen to what he says. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to do what for you, Paul? What are you waiting for? Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to. You know what Paul is really looking forward to? The resurrection to come, where his lowly body will be gloriously transformed. Folks, if you know Christ, on your deathbed you receive Christ as your Savior, praise God for that. You're going to heaven. Maybe through your deathbed confession, somebody will come to know Christ. Guess what? That's going in your account. But God has called us to do much more than barely making it. He wants us to be soul winners, so that on the other side you will shine brightly. Not just like the angels, but like Jesus Christ. This is the soul winner's prize. Now, some of y'all are going to think, man, on the other side, Billy Graham is going to be like a big ball of fire running around. You know, I mean, it's like, you can't even look at him. There's Billy. Go, let's go the other way. And all of us have like these tiny little, where's my flashlight gone? Come here. There's a tiny little flashlight here. It's like, this is me, you know. Not true. You see, the Bible often talks about first shall be last, the last shall be first. Maybe in a different context. But on the other side, many of us will be surprised to see what? I just won him. He was just a little boy in my vacation Bible school. I led him to Jesus. But you don't realize what that little boy went and did. Because that goes in your account too. So I'm going to ask you again this morning. Question number one, are you saved? Are you really sure your name is in the book of life? Are you really sure that on that day, Christ will confess you? He will stand up and say, yep, he's mine. Yep, she's mine. Question number two. What exactly are you chasing after? People come to Clear and say, oh, I love the way he teaches. Thank you. My real goal is to see as many people in my lifetime get into heaven. That's what I want to do. I don't care what you are. I don't care where you come from, what you look like, what your problem is, what your past is. I want to see you get to know Jesus. How about you? Don't just get by. Get in the race.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Yes, it is important to dig deep into the Word of God, but there's a purpose behind it. The ultimate goal is to win lost souls to Christ. For more information today, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon notes, my blog site, at abidanshaw.com.